Open in your Bibles with me, please, this morning to the Gospel as recorded for us by Mark and the 10th chapter. Mark chapter 10, and I will take our scripture reading from verses 13 through verse 16 of this chapter. Mark chapter 10. And I'll begin our scripture reading in verse number 13. Let us hear the word of God. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Let us bow for prayer. Gracious Father, now as we approach thy precious and holy word, we plead that thy Spirit would speak truth to our hearts this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we find the account of parents bringing their children to Jesus. We love our children. There are sad cases where a father or a mother rejects a child. That is very unnatural. It is within our natural being to love our children and to cherish our children and to care for them. And as a father of four children, I can tell you, and I'm sure every father present would repeat the same assertion, that I would gladly lay down my own life for my children. There is nothing we would not do for them. There is no sacrifice that is too great to make for them. We love them. We cherish them. And so here in this gospel account, we find parents that are performing an act on behalf of their child. That must tell us right from the beginning that they viewed that which they were about to do as important. It was not an insignificant matter. It was not something that they would just neglect and say, well, we just never got around to doing that. You see, when these children brought their infants to Jesus Christ, they did so recognizing that there was something that their child needed that they could not do. Their child had a need, and the parents would do everything they could to meet the need of the child. But this was a need they couldn't meet. There was something their child required that was beyond their ability. And so we find there in Mark 10 and verse 13 that they brought their young children to him that he might touch them. When we look at the Luke account of this same story, Luke doesn't say children, it says infants. These were not children that were of an age to walk themselves. The implication is that they were carried, that they were brought in arms. The children had no means to provide this for themselves, and the parents had no means to provide this for themselves. But they brought their children to Jesus that he might bless them. He took them up in his arms and blessed them. And so what was that thing that this child so desperately needed that the father and the mother could not themselves provide. We hold a newborn babe in our arms, and that child is precious and beautiful. That child is a sinner. We talk about the innocence of a child, and yes, that child has never murdered. That child has never stolen. That child has never taken the Lord's name in vain. And yet, that dear, precious, quote-unquote, innocent child is not innocent. For all men are born in trespasses and sins. And the father may work a minimum of 40 hours a week. And many of our fathers have worked multiple jobs to put food on the table, to put clothes on our back, to put a roof over our head, to provide education and every essential need of the child. But no father, no matter how hard they work, can take care of the sin problem. The sin problem is beyond the ability of the mother and the father. But these parents brought their child to Jesus. They brought him to the one who could take care of the problem they could not handle themselves. David, in Psalm 51, which is the psalm of repentance, after his great sin with Bathsheba, after the sin of the murder of Uriah, says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And David was not saying my mother was an adulterer. He was saying, I was born in sin. For as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I was born May 11, 1963. I just told you how old I'm getting. I was born into a Christian home. My father was actually out of town the week I was born. I was born somewhat unexpectedly that week, and my father was away in evangelistic meetings. He was a preacher. He was out preaching the gospel when I was born. That's my heritage. I was very blessed to be raised in a Christian home. I did not miss a day of church from the time I was born until I was 17, the first time I was not in church on a Sunday. My parents were very righteous people. They were very good people. They did a very good job of having their son in church. They taught me the scriptures from the time I was a child. Most of the scripture that I can quote, I memorized before I was 12 years old. But they could not save my soul. All of those good things they did could not take care of this one problem. I was born in trespasses and sin. So the thing that these parents did in bringing the child to Jesus was a very good thing. But even that was not enough. Jesus had to step in. Jesus had to take care of this one problem that the parents could not handle. Job said, Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No, not one. Take a dirty shirt and throw it in the laundry basket. Does it come out of that basket clean? Nope. Still got to go to the washing machine. Still has to go through the process of hot water and cold water. And soap. And then it either has to dry in the sun or be put in the dryer. You see, they brought their child to Jesus, but then Jesus had to do something. Something had to change. Mm-hmm. And so we find, first of all, that they brought this child to Jesus, and recognizing that their child needed something, this child needed entrance into the kingdom of heaven, entrance into the kingdom of God, but how's that going to take place? Aren't you glad the Bible tells us? Aren't you glad Scripture gives us the answer? For we find in John chapter 3 a man named Nicodemus. Was Nicodemus a wicked sinner? Was he an adulterer? Was he a thief? Was he a murderer? He was a Pharisee. He was a righteous man. He would have been accepted in the synagogue. He would have had the best seat when he went. But Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He came to Jesus in secret. And he says to Jesus that he needs to be in the kingdom of heaven. What shall I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? And in John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And certainly Nicodemus understood what he was talking about, right? Nicodemus knew all about, no. Oh, Nicodemus, the righteous man, Nicodemus, the man who had been trained as I was, like a child. He didn't know what Jesus was talking about. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Don't be surprised. Don't be caught off guard. Don't be confused. Don't think this is strange. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. What was the one thing these parents could not do for their child? They'd given him the first birth. They had clothed, fed, and housed. But they could not make him born again. They could not give him the second birth. And so first of all, we find that these parents brought their child to Jesus because they knew the child needed something that they could not provide. But secondly, they brought their child to Jesus because they believed that Jesus could do what they could not. They believed that Jesus could meet the one need that they could not. They had faith that Jesus Christ was someone who was not just someone. He was not a prophet that was just a prophet. They brought their child to Jesus in faith, believing that his touch meant something. That his blessing was needful. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 15, if you look further in our text, it says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. When our children are sick, we take them to the doctor. Why? Well, because we have faith that that doctor has some kind of knowledge and skill that we don't have. If I could make my child well by myself, I wouldn't bother taking him to the doctor. But we take him in the doctor in that belief that the doctor has some kind of skill or some kind of knowledge that will help my child. The same with medication. We don't give our children medication because it tastes good. It doesn't taste good. We give it to them because we believe that this is something they need for the healing of the body. They believe that Jesus Christ could bring healing to the soul. Mm-hmm. As in Adam died, even in Christ shall all be made alive. Now what does it mean there when it says, except a man shall not receive the kingdom as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Is this a matter of timing? Does this mean adults cannot be saved? No, it's not saying when, it's saying as. Except a man receive the kingdom of heaven as a little child. In the same way that a little child receives the kingdom, he cannot enter therein. It's not a matter of timing, it's a matter of transition. It's not a matter of timing, but rather a matter of a change that needs to take place. Because you see, when we get old, we get wise in our own opinions. When we get older, we begin to become impressed with ourselves. And we can begin to recite all the good that we've done. And we can begin to give you all the reasons why we should be allowed into the kingdom of heaven. But you know what? A little child doesn't have any of those. A little child doesn't tell you how righteous he is. A little child doesn't tell you why God should let him into heaven. A little child doesn't tell you how often he goes to church. He's not cognizant of those things. But what happens to the little child when he's scared? He runs to his father's arms. What happens to the little child when he's hungry? Does he go out and get a job? No, he runs to mommy and says, "Mommy, I'm hungry." He runs to mommy and he says, "Mommy, I'm cold. Mommy, I have a tummy ache." The little child realizes that he is completely dependent on someone else and he can't take care of his problems on his own. And so Christ says, except a man become as a little child, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Because how often you find somebody and you begin to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ and they say, "Oh yeah, I go to church." "Where do you go?" I think the name of it is something and something. "Well, where is it?" "Well, it's down on that street, you know, the one just beyond the 7-Eleven. "Well, how long has it been since you've been there?" "Easter of 2018, I think I went. A couple years ago, when the football game wasn't on." You see, the adult will begin to tell you all the good things about himself. But a little child learns the good things about Jesus Christ. "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And my friend, these parents brought their children to Jesus, believing that Jesus could do something for that child they could not do. And anyone who is saved comes to Jesus believing that he can do something for me that I cannot do for myself. That's right. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved." Parents knew their child needed something they couldn't do for themselves. Do you know that you need something you can't do for yourself? These parents believed that Jesus could do for their child what they could not do for their child. Do you believe that Jesus Christ can do for you what you cannot do for yourself? In the Matthew passage, Matthew 19, verse 13, if you'd like to turn to it. In the Matthew passage, it says, "And they were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And his disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of heaven." They wanted Jesus to touch their children. Why would they want Jesus to touch their children? You see, these parents knew that there had been two blind men sitting beside the road. And these two blind men in Matthew chapter 20 cried out, "O Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on us." And the multitude, this is in Matthew 20 and verse 31, "and the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried more, saying, Have mercy on us, Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood and called them and said, What will ye that I should do to you? And they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight. Here these blind men are crying out to Jesus. And they're not just saying Jesus of Nazareth. They say unto him, O Lord, thou Son of David. And it's kind of obscured in the language. But by calling Jesus the Son of David, they were declaring that he was the Messiah that had been promised. They were declaring that he was the Christ. You see, they had faith. They believed that this is the Son of God who has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus touched their eyes and they saw. And so these parents are bringing their infants to Jesus that he might touch them. But their baby wasn't blind. Their baby wasn't deaf. But the touch that the child needed was the touch of the soul. They brought their infants to Jesus that he might touch them. There's an old hymn that we used to sing. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others that are thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. That is the same state of those two blind men that were crying, thou Son of David, thou Son of David, thou Son of David. They wanted Jesus to take their children up in their arms. But also we find there in Luke that they wanted him to pray for them. They wanted to take him up in their arms and bless them and pray for their children. Consider that. Remember Peter? Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. What stood, or better stated, who stood between Peter and Satan? It was Jesus Christ. Who will stand between the devil and the child that we will baptize today? Oh, how the parents would love to. But only Jesus can fill that gap. My friend, who stands between you and hell this morning? Who stands between you and Satan who desires to sift this wheat? Who stands between you and Satan, who is the roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour? Who is going to stand to your cause? We find that sinners will not stand in the judgment. The ungodly will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But my friend, when I stand before the judgment, Christ stands between me and judgment. That's right. He stands to my defense. And that is why these parents were bringing their infants to Jesus, that he might touch them, that they might receive that touch from him. And that he might pray for them, that he might stand in the gap on their behalf between them and judgment. And so they realized their child needed something they could not provide. They realized that Jesus could provide that which their children needed. But also we find that they were not willing to allow anything to stand in the way. Look again at Matthew 10 and verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. The disciples rebuked those that brought them. The disciples should have been saying, hey everybody, bring your children. The disciples should have been the one going out and finding the parents and bringing them in. But rather, the disciples rebuked the parents that brought the children. The greatest hindrance to the salvation of many souls is religion.
That's right.
The greatest hindrance to the salvation of many souls are so-called churches. Here it is the disciples, the ones who should have been knowing better, the ones who should have been the evangelists, they're the ones that are rebuking the parents and telling them, shh, go away, go away. Don't bother Jesus. Don't trouble him. You see, there are many obstacles that stand between you and the one thing you need above everything else. The obstacle that stands between you and Jesus Christ may be your own self-righteousness. It may be members of your family. It may even be a church, or a preacher, or a pope, or a Buddha, or whoever else. But these parents did not turn back, did they? When the disciples rebuked them, they didn't say, oh, well, let's go home. They were not deterred. They were not turned away. They did not give up. And my friend, if you feel a need in your soul, if you know there's a need you can't meet, and you believe Jesus Christ is the only one that can meet it, don't let anything stand in the way. Nicodemus was too short. Zacchaeus was too short, so he climbed a tree. Nicodemus was a righteous man, but he came and asked anyway. These blind men were told, be quiet, don't bother him. They were rebuked, but they cried out the louder. What stands between you and salvation? What obstacle stands in your way that prevents you from believing in Jesus Christ? Oh, but my family will reject me. Oh, but my church tells me something different. Oh, but I go to church every Sunday and I'm religious. Oh, but I like this form. I like all the ceremony. My church has golden candlesticks and statues and stuff. And that gospel's just too plain. It's too simple. Certainly I have to do something to get this gift. Certainly, I've got to count beads, or go to confession, or worship a statue. I want to see my God. But Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What stands in your way? These parents were not willing to allow anything to stand in the way of that one thing that their child needed.
That's right.
And so they bring their children to Jesus. And we find that Jesus took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them. And he blessed them. He blessed them. It's very common in stores, and it's a good thing. But it's common for people to say, have a blessed day. Or even say, God bless you. You hear that after sneezes all the time. God bless you. But people have no concept of what it is to be blessed by Jesus Christ unless they know him as Savior. My friend, I can tell you something. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Not because I was born in a Christian home. That was a blessing. Not because I was raised in the gospel. That was a blessing. Not because I attended Christian school. That was a blessing. I'm blessed because I came to a point when I realized I was a sinner. And I began reading God's word and crying out to him because I knew he could do for me what my parents couldn't do. And I was saved. I was born again. He touched me. and he blessed me. And now he daily stands before God and he prays for me before the Father. He ever lives to make intercession. That means to pray. Jesus Christ prays on my behalf before the throne of heaven. And I'm blessed. What about you? Are you religious? Good and well, but it won't do you any good. Are you a good person? Good and well, your neighbors might appreciate that. But it will not help you before the throne of God. Every person has born with a need. A need that no one can meet but Jesus. Will you come to him that he might meet your need? Let us pray. Gracious Father, bless now your word and your truth to our hearts this day. Father, I pray for any here or any in our far-flung audience, Lord, that does not know the touch, the blessing, the salvation, the new birth that is found in Jesus Christ. O Lord, may you smite their sinful heart and point them to the Savior. May you take away the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh that they might believe. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to have Anton and Marissa come. And I didn't say Anton, Marissa, and Elias come because Elias cannot come on his own. But he is being carried this morning to our assembly. You just stand here at the front. And I'm going to read, first of all, from the book of Isaiah and chapter 44, verses 1 through 16. We find these words. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as spring up among the grass, as willows by the watercourse. Think of Psalms, who be planted by the rivers of water, the righteous man. Here their seed would spring up among the grass, and as willow trees by the river. One shall say, I am the Lord's. And another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall ascribe his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last. Beside me there is no God. What a glorious passage in Isaiah there, where God promises that he will pour out his spirit, he will pour out his blessing on our offspring and on our seed. And our offspring and our seed, our children, will ascribe themselves by the name of the God of Jacob. They will ascribe themselves to the Jehovah of heaven. That's what we're about, folks. That is why the parents brought their children to Jesus. That is why Anton and Marissa bring little Elias this morning. There's no magic in my touch. I'm a sinful preacher. But there is there is blessing in the obedience to the word of God. To bring our children before him in consecration, in dedication, in baptism. And the baptism we perform today for an infant who is passive in the act is a following of the Old Testament circumcision, which was the sign of the covenant by which a child was brought into that covenantal relationship with Jehovah. And so reading from the old book of discipline, we find these words, "Dearly beloved, forasmuch as all men are conceived and born in sin, and that our Savior Jesus Christ saith, except a man be born again of water and of the Holy Spirit, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. I beseech you to call upon God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, that of his bounteous mercy he will grant to this child that life which by nature he cannot have, that he may as early as possible receive the new birth through the Holy Spirit and be received into Christ's blood-bought church, and through that through the continual replenishing of God's grace he will walk in the light and fellowship of Jesus Christ, in order that he may share in Christ's heavenly home." Let us pray. Gracious Father, this morning we praise your holy name for little Elias Alexander. We thank you, Lord, for the healthy birth of this child. We prayed earnestly for that. We thank you for Anton and Marissa and the home they have established. We prayed for that. We thank you, Lord, for their love and devotion to you. We prayed for that as well. And Father, now as this dear, precious child is brought before you, his parents acknowledge that though they would do everything for their child, they cannot do that one thing which is most needed. But, oh Lord, Anton and Marissa and we as a congregation come before you this morning in unwavering faith that Jesus Christ will save. And so, Father, we pray that you indeed would grant to this child that life which by nature he cannot receive. Oh, Father, we pray your blessing on this child in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I will now question Anton and Marissa. Dearly beloved, forasmuch as this child is now presented by you for baptism before God, and is thus consecrated to God and his church, it is your part and duty to live before him the life that becometh the gospel, or the life that reflects the gospel is what that phrase means. That he be taught the meaning of the holy ordinances, that he be taught to renounce the devil and all of his work, the vain pomp and glory of this world, with all the carnal desires of the flesh, so that he may not follow or be led by them. He is to be taught to know the holy scriptures, which are able to make him wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He is to be instructed in doctrine. You are to help him to obediently keep God's holy will and commandments all the days of his life. You are in every way, by precept and example, to seek to lead him in the love of God and the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you train him to worship regularly, both publicly and privately, so that when he has reached an age of discretion, he being willing and showing evidence of living faith, will make and ratify his own conversion or declaration or baptism? Do you solemnly assume these obligations? And you are to answer, we do, God being our helper.
We do, God being our helper.
Elias Alexander Kolyavin, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Oh, dear Lord, this precious child in my arms is so dear and so tender. Oh, Lord, let not this child go astray. Oh, Lord, let not this child be a reprobate. O Lord, let not this child fall into sin. O Lord, as soon as his cognizance comes to awareness, may you save his soul in true repentance of sin. Father, bless this child. O God, I pray for Anton and Marissa. The task before them is daunting. The task before them is great. O God, may you aid them and help them day by day. As this child wakes in the morning, may he be told of Jesus Christ. As he falls asleep at night, may he hear the songs of his mother, praising the glorious name of our God. Father, bless this child. O Lord, help us as a congregation to hold Anton and Marissa up in prayer in this vow that they take today. May we be faithful to call upon you on their behalf. And Father, we rejoice in the glorious promise to us and to our children, to us and our seed. Father, we believe that in training our children up in the way they should go, when they are old, they will not depart from it. Father, bless this day in Jesus' name.